Greetings, I'm Fred Zaspel. Welcome to another author interview here at Books at a Glance. We're talking again to Dr. Steve Wellum about his systematic theology. We've been working our way through, and we're at that part of the book where we're dealing with hermeneutics, how to understand the Bible. If we're going to build theology, we've got to know how to interpret the Bible. And so he's been laying the groundwork on that for us. Now, he has introduced for us in rather brief fashion, relatively speaking, we did take a few weeks on it though, the idea of progressive covenantalism. And now we're looking at some competing theories within evangelicalism as to how to understand the Bible. It's really remarkable how much in common we can have still, given all of these disagreements, but these disagreements do exist and they show up later in interpreting our understanding of various doctrines as they come up. So what we're doing at this point is understanding these competing systems of interpretation. Last time we looked at dispensational theology. Today we look at covenant theology. And in particular, I think we'll do Paedobaptist covenant theology. Then we'll move on to the Reformed Baptists as well. Well, Steve, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Great to be back again and talking about these important issues.
Yeah. All right. Let's begin with big picture. Just in brief introductory overview, what is covenant theology? Where did that system come from? And what are the covenants that are in view in covenant theology?
Yeah. Covenant theology, long pedigree. I mean, it really comes into its own, I think, in the Reformation, but really the post-Reformation era. But I mean, you've got covenants. I mean, everyone acknowledges the importance of covenants all the way through the history of the church. I remember reading Athanasius and on the Incarnation and speaking about Adam, who was given a command in Genesis 2 that it almost treating it as, you know, he was in a probationary state, which is really a covenant of works, even though he doesn't mention that terminology. So I think, you know, covenant theology has been right to acknowledge that people have, you know, talked about their view long before the Reformation or post-Reformation. Yet it comes and is systematized in that particular period of time as they are seeking to understand how the Bible fits together and the whole counsel of God and so on. So as you know, we'll tie it then, but it's not as if, you know, that's, there was no precursors to it. And there's something similar with dispensational thought, even though it begins late 1800s. I mean, obviously there's elements of it that you can see in the history of the church. So covenant theology, broadly speaking, there's differences within covenant theology and lots of debates. They try to make it sound.
Yeah.
Like
I want to ask you about those in a minute too.
Yeah. They try to make it sound like it's monolithic, but there are differences. And so I try to focus on, I think, the classic traditional view. So in their view, there is a pre-time covenant. There's three covenants. A covenant that's tied to the plan of salvation, the covenant of redemption, sometimes from the Latin, just simply known as pactum salutis, covenant of salvation, which is covenant of redemption. And that's tied to the eternal decree. So God has an eternal plan that encompasses everything. And within that eternal decree, there is also the plan of redemption. And this now is a covenant, and people will dispute whether it's best to call this a covenant. Robert Lethem disputes that and others. But it's a language because the Father, Son, and Spirit, and mostly in the discussion historically, it's Father, Son, but they've corrected that in recent years to say, no, this is a triune. The triune persons are planning then the salvation of the elect, right? So the Father's election of a people, the appointment of the Son to be mediator, and the Spirit to apply the work Son, the Son of work of Christ to his people. And that's from eternity, that's for time and so on. And then the outworking of that divine decree, and then particularly the covenant of redemption, shows itself then in the historic covenants. And primarily they speak of it as a bi-covenantal system, right? So you have the Genesis 1 to 2, so pre-fall, you have Adam in a covenant of works. And it's called a number of different things. Some have called it a covenant of creation, like I do, or natural covenant, but the predominant term is covenant of works. And covenant of works then is made with Adam and his descendants who come from him. He is the head of the representative, the covenant head of the human race, federal head, federal, just another term for covenant.